Couple of quick announcements first. Our CWA is having their annual cookie sale after Mass, so please, right after Mass, you'll find a variety of beautiful looking cookies right next door in St. Michael Hall. This Wednesday is a holy day of obligation, December 8th, the Immaculate Conception of the Blessed Virgin Mary. It's also the patronal feast day of the United States of America. In the 1800s, our bishops consecrated our nation to Mary under the title of the Immaculate Conception. So it's also a proper day to be praying for our great nation. You'll find Mass times in the bulletin, also in the Ordo that you have today. Feel free to take that with you. And you'll find the Mass times, just briefly, it's the Vigil Mass on December 7th, that's Tuesday, 5:30. And then on the day, December 8th, we have Mass at 8:20. You can come enjoy the children for that one. That's always a great one. Also at 12 noon, 5:30, and then at 7 p.m. in Spanish. And all Masses will be here in the church. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ could be born 1,000 times in Bethlehem, but all in vain unless he is born in me. These are the words of a 17th century mystic from Germany, Angelus Silesius. So how do we allow him to be born in each of us? Remember, there was no room in the inn. How can we make room in the inn of our hearts? We are now 20 days out from Christmas. So now is the perfect time to stop and see how we are preparing and to make sure that our upcoming celebration as a person of faith is not in vain. And I say that as a person of faith. We have to remember the world around us is doing it differently. And mostly they're celebrating things they don't understand, they don't know, or don't care. But you and I must be doing it differently. Why? Because we claim to have faith. We are a people of faith. So we should look different. We must look different. We should be joyful and celebrating, but we have a purpose. We have a point. We are preparing to celebrate the birth of the Savior, not just my Savior and your Savior, our Savior, but the world's salvation. And God accomplishes this even in the messiness of the things around us, the messiness of our lives. Look at each of our readings this Sunday. All of them take place in less than perfect circumstances. The very first reading from the book of the prophet Baruch. Baruch is writing about the glory and joy in Jerusalem, but he is writing from the great Babylonian exile, 50 years from 585 BC to 535 BC, for about 50 years when they were in exile, away from their country. They had no country. Imagine you not having any citizenship, being driven out from your homeland. And yet he is writing about this beauty of what is to come. Also, St. Paul, he writes, "My prayer for you in joy." And he goes on with such a beautiful letter. He's writing from prison. How many of us would be writing from prison that I think if it was me, I'd be saying, "Get me out of here," or something. But no, he's writing to them, praying for their joy. And lastly, that list in the gospel with all of those odd-sounding names, perhaps to us, that really nobody knows how to pronounce, except Deacon Platt. He did a great job. Ituria, Trachonitis, Lysanias, the Tetrarch, all of that. These are characters who ruled both civilly and religiously, and the places they ruled, at the time when the voice of St. John the Baptist was crying out in the desert. In fact, St. John's eventual murderer is listed in that list. This is no group of saints. This is not a happy time if you look at it from that perspective. And yet, it is the time God chose to save us. So here's the good news. God is able to bring good, even incredible, extraordinary, unexpected good from what we might see as the worst of circumstances. Personal, national, whatever. The perpetual news around us that basically always seems like bad news can take our attention away, can distract us from what really matters as we get into the heart of the Advent season. And that is it. What really matters? Our repentance. My repentance, your repentance, us as a people of faith, as a parish, as a church. St. John the Baptist preached it, and in fact, these are the first words out of the mouth of Jesus in his public ministry. Repent, he says. The world will change for the better, one person at a time. And it starts with you and me. That great pond, right? You throw the stone in the pond and the ripple effect that comes out from the one stone. We cannot control other people, but we need to start with what we can control ourselves with the help of God. We prayed at the opening prayer of the Mass today that, quote, no earthly undertaking would hinder those who set out in haste to meet your Son. And let us be honest, this time of year is chock full of earthly undertakings, right? Not all of them are bad. We kind of running around getting some gifts for people. That's a beautiful thing. It's not an either or, right? This is a both and. And although we will soon be singing Silent Night, all will not be calm and bright in our hearts if we do not prepare the way for the King of Kings to be born in us. Christ could be born 1,000 times in Bethlehem, but all in vain unless he is born in me. So how do we let him be born? Well, the first foundational way to do this is to stop being preoccupied with everything outside of our control. Again, stop being preoccupied with what you have no control over. Let it go. Pray for it, but if we have no control, let it go. That list of rulers that I mentioned, secular and religious in the gospel, just goes to show you and me that there has never been a golden age of leadership, right? Earthly leadership. Our Lord was not born into such an age, and that age will not be present now or anywhere on earth until he comes back. So, some good advice, if you're open to it. Turn off the 24-hour news network this Advent. Stop checking headlines every 10 minutes to see what is going on. You know, also I'd encourage, even for myself, does this look familiar? For those of you in the back, this is what they call a smartphone, and someone has texted me since I started Mass. We don't need to know that all the time, do we? Did you know you can turn off the vibration and push notifications and all of those things that constantly are coming in around us? We don't need those to know that we're loved, do we? Hopefully not. One of the best dinners I ever had was when at the door, the host had a basket, we put them all on silent, and we put them in another room, and we enjoyed each other's company. There came times where, don't we want to look that up? Nope. No, we can look it up later, right? It was wonderful. So let us stop allowing these earthly undertakings that are perpetually humming around us to control us, and instead put them on mute, at least for the next 3 weeks, and allow the Lord to speak. Allow him to speak to you, especially in silence. Ask him in the silence, where, O Lord, do I need to repent? What do I need to change in my life that I can change? There are hindrances, obstacles. What are they, Lord? Help me know. Go for a quiet walk in the cool air and ask the Lord to speak to your heart about the past few months since your last confession. What have I done or failed to do that has separated me from him? Where has my love for Jesus perhaps grown cold? And where have I not shown that self-sacrificing love to the people he has put into my life? Ask the Holy Spirit for the grace to know your sins and then take advantage of one of the greatest gifts that Jesus ever gave us, sacramental confession. Gratefully receive his sacramental grace, receive his forgiveness and mercy, and then turn around and give that forgiveness and mercy to someone else. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. We may host or go to 1,000 Christmas parties, but if we are still stuck in the mire of what separates us from the real presence of Christ in our hearts, what does it matter? There'd be no fulfillment. Unless he is born in my heart, my celebration is in vain. The fact of the matter is, God has already done all of the work that is needed to, on his end at least, to make the crooked way straight and everything that comes along with that to come to us. Even in the worst of surroundings, still, the Son of God comes to us if we open that heart. How are you called to communicate the good news? This good news, even when the world seems to be falling apart around you, because God has made you part of the solution. He has made you and me missionaries where we are in the world. Jesus believes in you. And he knows you can do it. That's why he called you. That's why you are sitting in this pew this morning. He has made you and me partners in telling others the amazing news that our lives have a purpose. We are not random. Each of us is the result of a thought of God. Each of us is willed. Each of us is loved. Each of us is necessary. Tell that good news to others. Jesus comes to you today in Holy Communion, then the most blessed sacrament. We are receiving all of the power and presence of God that is possible. So in that moment, allow him to be born again in you, because all is in vain unless he is born in us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Let us stand.